Well, if you just had about a half a dozen pieces of pie and enjoyed them all, and you're about full of pie, and then another guy come and you said, well, I believe I can handle one more nice piece of pie, and all he had to give you was a piece of bread, then you'd know how I feel tonight. You've had all this beautiful pie, and it has blessed you, and it's been wonderful, and I'm thankful for it, glad to hear it. Nice to see all of you again. Always good to be back here. Do you remember hearing or learning the word omniscience? Yeah, sure. Most of you do. Maybe some of you don't. You say, that's a great big 18-cylinder word. Or are you the kind of preacher just going to get up and throw big? No. You got it all wrong, but you need to understand this. The word omniscience means know-it-all. You ever met a know-it-all? Well, I don't really think I have. I just met some folks who thought they did. Now, I must tell you that in fairness to you and all this beautiful singing for which I am so grateful, I was told I would have about 10 minutes or so to speak tonight. So we'll see how this goes. I'm a little bit like the guy, I may not understand my directions clearly. A college boy was out trying to make some money in the summertime, and he's out knocking on doors. Can I do anything for you? You know, I mean, I'll paint, I'll rake leaves, I'll mow lawn, you know, whatever. And finally, one fellow said, well, you can paint my porch. Said, the paint's in the garage there. About 3 or 4 hours later, the boy came to the front door, knocked on it, said he's there for his money. And he said, by the way, he said, that's not a porch you have in there. It's a Corvette. So he had painted the man's Corvette. So, we don't always get our instructions clearly, but thank you for giving me the guidelines, and I will try to be sensitive to them and do the best we can. Consequently, I have moved away from the message that I had planned for tonight, and in lieu of time considerations, I'm just going to talk a little bit about this fellow that knows everything. There is one. We're going to read about him. We're going to learn about him. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, chapters 1 and 2 of the book, or 2 and 3 of the Revelation, he picks out these seven churches and talks to them and tells them, either blesses them or tells them of their errors or whatever. And he's speaking to the church of Smyrna. And when he says, and under the angel, he means right unto the leader, the pastor. Verse 8, and under the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive, I know. Whoa. Wouldn't mean much if I said it. Perhaps if you said it. But here we have the one who does truly know. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, that thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Let us let that reading suffice for my few moments. Dear Lord, thank you for all of your blessings, and thank you, Lord, that with great confidence we can rest assured that you do know all about us. There is no hidden thought, there is no secret that you have not had revealed to you, and you know it all. And now, Lord, would you give us the wisdom and common sense enough just to hear what you say, since you do know it all. Bless us this evening, and may we be advanced spiritually because we have assembled here and heard this beautiful singing. And now we read from the words of one who is omniscient. In Christ's name I pray, amen. I'd like to divide these verses into four little things. First of all, the Lord said to them, I know what you're doing. Secondly, he said, I know what others are doing to you. And thirdly, I know what you are doing without. And then he said, I also know your true value. Your true value. I know what you're doing. That's an interesting thought. Sometimes it's a convicting thought to think the Lord knows what I am doing. He says in the Word, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if we keep his commandments, we're going to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. If we cannot go, we're going to help somebody else go. We're going to use our assets or our own strength or whatever to accomplish what God has asked us to do. It's a terrible attitude for anyone, but especially for one who professes to love Jesus, to say, but I run my own life. I sort of do what I well please. And that's a popular attitude today. But to profess to be a Christian and then have that attitude toward it, you've got it all mixed up, my dear friend. For he knows your works. He said, I know thy works. I think it's good for everyone to have an accountability situation in their life. I've been accountable to someone for 56 years, and after I preach, I say, honey, how did this come across? Or how did this? And believe me, she has a pretty good acumen on those things. But we need this matter of accountability just to make sure that we're in line with the Word of God, knowing that God knows our works. A young lady talked to my wife and I sometime, well, not too long ago, and said, my grandma took me to a Chinese restaurant and said on the way out, she grabbed a bunch of, what was it? Lagoons or raccoons. Or and she filled this young lady's purse with them and said, get at her, get going. And I thought, my, a Christ-like person, just feeling your purse full of things. I mentioned someone earlier when I learned that she was going to Israel in a few days. When I was in Israel, I was the co-leader of a group that was there. And one day in the River of Jordan, we baptized 27 people. Wonderful occasion, just wonderful. And there were two older ladies in that group, and the next day they were caught shoplifting. And I said, I didn't hold them down long enough. But it kind of presents the irony of which I speak. Well, I was baptized yesterday, and I look like this wonderful old-timey Christian, and I'm just, no, but God says, I know thy works. They couldn't hide, and you and I can't hide. He knows our works. Does that mean anything at all to you? I hope it will in our days to come, that before you act in a way that would be of self, that you'll remember, but the all-seeing eye watches. And when God says, I know, believe me, he knows. Amen. Well, 2.5 minutes are gone. Next, I'd like to look at the matter I said, where he said, I know what others are doing to you. For he said, what others are doing to you, he said, in thy tribulations. Much of our tribulation comes from someone we at least blame someone else for our tribulations. You know, I had this happen to me or that happened to me. Wasn't my fault. Not at all. It's just nobody liked me. And it's just I was better at work than they were. And so they finally just booted me out. And I don't know who's guilty and who isn't guilty. But God knows. God says, I know. You ever been bullied at school? Well, if you're school at home, you haven't been, I don't think. Maybe if you have, you do have problems. But God knows your tribulations. If you're 10 years old, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, yeah, 70 or 75, he knows. Life isn't really all that kind. If I may, I'm going to just share a little bit. It'll soon be a year ago. Thanksgiving will be a year since my wife and I were at our daughter's in Cincinnati. And one of our granddaughters, by the way, we have 21 granddaughters and 20 grandsons. So that's a grand number. But one of our granddaughters, the only one like this at all, her family was divided. Her dad was in the military and gone to Kosovo or Iraq or Afghanistan, or he was just gone. Mother wasn't behaving herself so well. And at about 14 or 15 years old, this little granddaughter went to the streets. I mean, she did drugs, alcohol, would hitchhike her way from truck stops all the way across the country and back. It wasn't pretty. She slept behind dumpsters. You think of it, yeah. But she heard that we were there in Cincinnati, and she got a ride and came to where we were. My heart was so broken for her. We had prayed for. And I was so happy to just put my arms around her and tell her I loved her. Well, we ended up with her sitting in the back seat of our car, and her little box of belongings wasn't any bigger than that. It was in the trunk of the car. And she came to our house in Virginia to live. Now, she was a tough customer. But she had given her heart to the Lord recently before that. Now, she didn't know how this all played out in your life, but nonetheless, she was making her start. And I said, Cheyenne, I said, we're so glad you're here, but we don't smoke. And she did. I said, you don't smoke in the house, you don't smoke in the car, and I'd rather you didn't smoke at all. But if you must smoke, you're not going to do it in the house or in the car. Oh, okay, Grandpa, that's wonderful. Well, she later set our back deck on fire and had $10,000 worth of damage. But even in that, her grandmother and I was learning something. While the firemen were there putting the fire out, sheriffs was there making their reports, and she was sobbing her heart out. And she came up to me, Grandpa, Papa, she called me, are you going to make me leave? And I couldn't help it. I just took her in my arms and I said, Shy, honey, I said, if this is the path that God has for you to follow, your grandmother and I are going to walk it with you. And she wept and wept and wept. Oh, how all the things that happened to her, I'm happy to tell you, God knew about it. God knew about it. When other family members, not her cousins or our children, but when some would disown her and tell her to get out of their life and don't come back and you'll never be a Christian, others can, but you can't, they told her everything. And she had to battle through all of that. And she's with us for 7 months. Oh, they were trying in some ways and wonderful in some ways. One of the pictures I love so well is, as we often did in the evenings at home, I would sit in my chair. It is a recliner, by the way, an electric can too. I like that. I'm spoiled. And my wife would sit in hers. Hers is identical to mine. And Shai would sit on the two-seat little couch, love seat there by us. And she'd have her Bible and her notebook, and I'd give her a Bible study. During one night when that was happening, our son Troy came up on the front porch. It was dark outside. We couldn't see him, but he saw through our window shades that we're having a Bible study. And he took a picture from outside. Nobody knew he was there. And then he gave it to us later. It wasn't every night, but frequently we had those Bible studies. We prayed with her every day. It was our intention to. If a day slipped by without having special prayer with her, I'm not going to say it didn't, probably did, but nonetheless, we were there for her. And on the 13th day of August, she had a new job, and we had put her in a driver's ed. She's 24 years old now, but we had never driven. We put her in driver's ed, and she got her license, and someone in the church had given her an old car, an old Nissan of some kind. It wasn't pretty, but it ran good. And so her life is together. She had a job, and she just got a better job and all. And she was so excited to come by and just tell us all about it. And on that day, she kissed her grandma by. She was going to work, and I was in my office working, and I have two double glass pane window doors in my office, to my office. And Grandma told her that I think he's busy. He's on the phone with somebody in his office. And so she wouldn't disturb me, but she came by and just pecked through my window. So I back at her. And she's gone. And at 7:35 that evening, she ran a stop sign, was hit broadside, and was killed immediately. And I want to tell you, God knows our works and our tribulations, and God knows all about that. And it's a dozen or more people who have given their heart to the Lord since she died. It's an amazing thing. She'd had a boyfriend one time, and one of many, but this particular one, they loved each other more than candy, and she got pregnant, and then he got mad at her and kicked her in the stomach and aborted the child. And mean, mean, mean. They never married. And that was gone. That was in the past. But then on the day of her funeral, it was broadcast over the East Lake service. He wrote a letter to the funeral home. Didn't know how to get it to the rest of us. Sent it to the funeral home, and they sent it to our son, Troy, who was a pastor. And he said, on this date, the day of her funeral, he said, I surrendered my life to Christ. And I'm so horribly sorry for the mean, mean person I've been. And others kept writing, sending in, and parents were telling us, oh, my son is listening to what happened to her, and he's wanting to change his life too, and on and on. I want to tell you something. God knows everything that's going on. The things in your life that just, you don't know how you're going to cope with them, and they're just worse than bad. The Lord says, I know. Aren't you glad there is one person who can say, I know, and really mean it? And he's talking to you. And he said, I know that tribulation. He said, I know what you're doing without. He said, for I know thy poverty. I know America's a very rich and wonderful place to live. But there's still people sleeping behind dumpsters too. And there's mamas with two or three little children or more who daddy got so self-esteemed on himself, and he went off somewhere to find lots of young women and wild music and alcohol and drugs. And some little mother somewhere is trying her best to feed those little children. And some of them don't even know God. And church, how can we meet every week and go on and on about how much I love Jesus and never seek them out and never put an arm around their shoulders, never slip a $10 bill in their hand or whatever? How can we do it? For the Lord says, I know your poverty. And if we are not doing something to help those who are in need, it may be that our poverty is greater than theirs. Think about it. But then he said, I know your true value. Praise the Lord. I know your true value. For he said, but thou art rich. Amen. We have 9 children. When they were all at home and those teenage years is kicking his heels up, and you know how it is. And on a Sunday I would have the kids singing trios or whatever, and our daughter Kimberly would be playing for them, and they would I'd say, come go with me. I've got to preach somewhere this morning. You would go, and they would sing, and God would bless them. And more than once, Jimmy would come to me before the service and say, Daddy, I don't know if I'm saved. I'd say, okay, let's take care of that buddy right here. And we'd just pray, and he'd go up there and sing. Having such a service one morning, I was really struggling because we really didn't have a lot of money. And things kind of tight squeeze for us. And little old lady, I remember she had a scarf around her head and tied under her chin, and it wasn't a cold day, but she's a little old lady, and her glasses looked like the bottom of a Coke bottle, and had a shawl on, and she's come out, and she looked up at me, and she said, Sir? Yes, ma'am. I think you're the richest man I've ever known. And then I knew her vision was bad. And I said, ma'am, I'm the fellow that preached this morning. I know who you are. Well, why would you say I'm so rich? She said, your children up there singing this morning with their hand in the air praising God, and you preaching the gospel. You're the richest man I've ever known. And I said, yes, ma'am, I think I might be. And I still think I am. But God said, I know your true value. You have something that God can use. How would you like to have your talents anointed? Wow, wouldn't that be awesome? Your talents anointed by God. And God giving you help that you didn't know you really had, or almost didn't know you needed. But he gives you help. And you do something and you feel so good, but you feel so humbled because the Lord God has done this for you. My next birthday, I'll be 75. Now, I know I don't look that old. Anything like that. No, honey, I'm not going to tell him you already are turned. But could an old man tell you kids something? I don't know that you'll listen because I don't know everything. But I'm just pointing you to somebody that does. And you have a wonderful, wonderful life. And God would like to take you and take your life and bless it and stamp it with His seal of approval on it. Wash your sins away with the blood of the Lamb and make you a person that had a lot of vigor and energy to do the will of God. Think about it. It could be you. You don't have to be one that hangs at the edge of the crowd and just don't know where you belong. No, you can take a position. I belong to the Lord. The Lord is my Savior. No, I'm not smoking your stuff. I'm a Christian. Now, that's pretty unpopular in this crazy political world we're in today. It's okay to tell him you're a Christian. Perfectly fine. And I trust that you will. Oh, my goodness. Did somebody reset the clock? I'm sorry. But just the very thought that Jesus loves you enough to make you a blessing. I'm not, God forbid, boasting, but we got many kids. Yeah, somebody asked me one time, very seriously, said, how long does a loaf of bread last at your house? And I said, well, I buy those great big family loaves. And I said, when I open it up, I grab the heel. And by the time I get my right hand around, I grab the other heel. I said, they're gone. But I want you to know that when we were raising our children, 6 of those years, we were pastoring a beautiful congregation in southern Indiana. And I preached one day on the gifts of Solomon, what God gave him. And we had a little girl named Kimberly, still do. And she went home. She was about 6 years old, wasn't she? Younger than that. But she went home, went upstairs to her room, and went over to the bed and got down on her knees and said, God, give me a gift. Give me a gift like you did Solomon. Give me a gift, Lord. And the Lord did. Her gift was playing the piano. Just this week, her family, they sing together what they do for a living. And they do it as a ministry. But she won the Musician of the Year award. How many years in a row? Is this 9th year? For all gospel music. They won the Mixed Group of the Year again. They won the leading album that just come out this year. What was it? Was it, oh, we're really strutting our stuff? No. It's a little girl getting down on her knees and saying, Jesus, would you give me a gift? Would you give me something that I could do for you? And God just dumped it out and dumped it out and dumped it out. Because he said, I know that you are rich. You have such a wonderful opportunity. Now, here's a fine young man over here. He got this family, several children of his own. And he's a pastor of this place. And he'd like to tell you it's the same thing, I'm sure. And he does. That God has something special for you. Hallelujah. It may be singing. It may be preaching. It may be teaching. It may be administrative. I don't know, but God has something for you. You're not a waste. You're not here to just idly wander your way through life and see what you can miss if you can get into. No, you're here because God has a purpose for your life. Isn't that wonderful? Young people, if you're happy about that, raise your hand a little bit and wave at me. Oh, good, you're not young. Amen. Well, hadn't been much of a sermon, homiletically speaking. But I've had a great time, sneaking a little extra time. God bless you. I love you. In the morning, we're going to have church again. Boy, I can't wait to have full time. I'd love to see you in the morning as well, Pastor. God bless you.